guys, welcome to the Roundtable. This is episode 113. I am Jenny Walker, the social media ministry leader here at Life Church. And this is Mike Hill. He is our lead pastor. And sitting in between us is Jamie Tackett.
Woo! Just admit, when you looked at me, did you think I was a carny?
Yeah. And everything.
That's what I'm saying.
Creepy.
Do I look like a carny? I'm holding up like something you would win for the little ping pong ball toss. And I'm sitting over here like a little kid watching you.
Yeah, that's what you looked like.
Oh.
Thanks, Jim and Linda Gould, for the clappy hands.
Yeah, Nike. Oh,
I'll give you a second shout out.
Yeah, I was actually thought I was going to have a seizure there watching.
Yeah, nobody wants red and blue lights coming at you.
Wait a second.
Is that a thing? You get seizures from that?
No, but isn't that a thing?
When things flash like that?
If
you have seizures.
So Jenny, I've been away. Tell me something incredible that you've been doing.
Well, I've been
learning. Because I've missed all my Jenny stories.
Okay, well, this isn't that cool, but I've been relearning to play the piano. So I downloaded an app. Okay.
Wow.
Yeah. So, well, I used to be able to do it.
Yeah.
But I just hadn't in a while. But I saw this app when I was looking through new apps.
Okay.
And I'm like, oh, okay, I can learn to play piano. So I've been learning notes again.
Well, here would be a question. So is that like a normal thing that you just get on your phone and you're like, you know, for some fun today, I'm going to search the app store.
Yeah. I mean, it was random. I hadn't done it in a really long time. Like,
do you have a certain search thing that you do, or are you just like the top so many apps?
Well,
or?
Before that, I downloaded some like productivity apps. So like some like planner,
did
whatever it was. No, never does.
Okay.
But we try.
Planner Plus.
Planner Plus.
Planner Plus.
Is that a planner?
Yeah.
Is it color-coded?
It has to-do lists and color-coded, and it syncs with your iCal. And
it does?
Yeah.
Wow.
So you can try that one as you're searching through your app store for fun. But nothing else interesting? You haven't done anything exciting? You haven't watched anything? I mean, I'm always getting my entertainment recommendations from you.
Lincoln Lawyer.
Okay.
It's on Netflix. Do you know what I'm talking about? It is
Is it
so
just because you
good.
Like Matthew McConaughey?
No, that's not. It's nothing about that. It's not like the movie. It's like an actual TV show. So this guy, he's a lawyer.
Oh.
And he.
But there is a movie, right?
Yeah, that's why I was really confused. But he works out of his Lincoln. So that's why he's known as a Lincoln lawyer, like around his town. But he's a really good lawyer. He came back from a year of, he had an addiction. He got hurt and then he had an addiction. Now he's back and it's just like following his story.
Is really it better than Breaking Bad?
No. That's a different kind of good.
Have you watched Breaking Bad?
No, but I have watched Yellowstone.
Hey. Here's what's funny.
When
we were in Montana, so we were trying to figure out things to do, and we went horseback riding one day. So we get there and you ride up into the mountains and you get to the top of the mountain, you get off, and they're like, we got to ask you because we've asked everybody for the past week because they knew we were tourists. Do you watch Yellowstone? I'm like, oh, yeah. And they said every single person that had been out there and riding on their tour for the entire week had watched Yellowstone.
That's very good show, I thought.
Yeah.
It must be the destination of the people. Like
people who want to be cowboys.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like
me. Like you.
Yeah. I said, I want to be Rip. Yeah. And they're like... Yeah, you would look.
They
kind of gave me a look like.
Were you wearing a shirt at this moment or not?
I'm trying to decide.
On the horse.
I'm trying to decide if I did or didn't.
Right? Because you said you weren't wearing one.
I did not wear one.
I've seen his pictures and he didn't have a shirt in
I never have a shirt on. Like anytime, if they'd let me walk around here without a shirt on, I would do it too. I hate clothes.
Well, just have a no shirt day.
Yeah, there you go.
Listen, I want to preach one day without a shirt, but I already get yelled at. I get yelled at with cutoffs.
Oh.
So yeah, I guess this is the next best thing.
Yeah, cutoffs it is.
Yeah. So nothing else other than that.
No,
no other interesting stories.
No, you should have asked me before to think on it. Because like
because the best part about your brain is when you don't think.
I know, but yesterday when you asked me what I'd done all whatever, I couldn't think. Actually, you asked me on Sunday and I couldn't think. And then you asked me yesterday and I couldn't think. And then later in the day yesterday, that's when
I remember. So I started this 3 days ago.
Yeah.
So I thought maybe by Tuesday we would for sure have something, but nothing.
Yeah, the piano is pretty cool.
That is me. So you'll be on the worship team.
Sure.
Yeah. Do you want to know something I did?
What?
So I love karaoke. But I've why are you laughing?
Just laughing. That's
so
it.
So anyway, so you know when you do karaoke, you know, you don't really hear yourself.
Yes.
Like, you can hear it out there, but you don't really. So Faith has an app on her phone where you like sing the song and it records. I didn't know it recorded you. I was just like, we were out on the front porch. I'm like, dude, I'm doing karaoke. give me a song. And I started singing and I'm like all into it. I mean, I am like belting it out, get done with it. She plays it, and I'm like, "Oh my!"
You sounded good to yourself.
Oh, I sounded so bad.
I hear that
because I was in the midst of singing it. Here's what I was thinking:
you thought you're so good.
This is my audition for Corinne. Like, this is.
Oh my gosh.
No, it's like, not.
I'm so great, and I listen to it.
No, like, no. Oh. Listen, Nick is completely different because I was trying to follow. It's you follow the things that say you're in pitch, and it kept saying good. And then I listened to it, and I'm like, people would throw tomatoes. Yeah.
That's the same app as the good or as the piano thing.
Okay. So you can hear yourself play your piano too.
Yeah. Yeah.
So do you sing karaoke?
Yes, I do.
So are you a worship singer? Like, do you sound good? Be honest.
I mean, lately I've
Nick's
had
lying.
Every
we know Nick's lying because every time somebody hears Nick, I get these texts all the time. Seriously, he is so good. We love him. Yeah. So we know he's lying, but what about you?
Well, lately, the past month, every time after Sunday, I've had somebody tell me that I should be on the worship team. Yeah.
So why don't you?
I don't know. Another story for another day.
Okay.
It's really not that
deep. Well, enough about us. Okay. Tell us a little bit about you, Jamie. Things going on in your life, things you love to do. How about some things you love to do?
Photography. I love.
Do you really?
Yes, you do.
I do. I took all my daughter, a lot of my daughter's wedding pictures. Other people were helping me, but if I could have done anything that day, it would just been ignore everybody and take pictures.
Is that like a newfound passion?
No, I've just always loved
You've always loved photography.
I don't like I wouldn't want to be going like in a studio or something. Oh, I just like getting out and free ranging. And I think the best pictures are the ones that people don't know you're taking a lot of times. So
you have a camera?
Yes.
Do you want to be my volunteer?
Well, how else would you take a picture?
Sure.
I'm asking her if she wants to be on my team.
Well, I know, but when she says I take pictures and you go, do you have a camera?
I mean, what do you think she took pictures with? I don't know if you like rented one or you have on a phone or you know what I mean?
No, my husband got me a good one for Christmas.
Oh, so. Nice. Yeah. That's what I want for Christmas.
No, I need to learn it better. I learn stuff and then I don't use it and then I'm lucky if I can turn it on.
Do you have a favorite movie?
Favorite
do you watch
movies? I mean, my favorite movie comes from when I was younger, Cry Baby with Johnny Depp.
Cry Baby.
I've never seen that.
Me either.
But I know what you're talking about.
Wow.
I just know what she's talking about. I don't
know. Oh, you know the movie Cry Baby.
If you were to see it, you'd be like, what in the world? But that was always my favorite. It was always my favorite. That and Grease from when I was younger.
Okay.
Good old Grease.
Yep.
Yeah. Anything else? Hobbies? Other than photography?
Not really. I like scrapbooking. I mean, everything goes with photography.
How about this? If you could travel back in time.
I love this question.
If you travel back in time, where would you go or how far back would you go? And would you want to change anything or just see something?
That's a hard one.
How about going to the future? Would you want to go to the future?
Yeah.
Which one would you rather do? Go to the future?
I'd probably go to my past and change a lot of things that we can't, you know, change now. But
how about like before you were even alive?
Like in history.
Wow. Yeah. Like, would you want to ever go back in a time in history and see anything?
I think what we call the olden days, like you said, you know, you see on the older shows, it seemed like it was a lot harder because, you know, every day was getting your food, but it seemed like it was a lot easier. Than today with all the technology and the chaos that goes on in the world, just a simpler time.
Yeah. Less distracting.
Yes.
So you would go back somewhere back then, you know, and enjoy that time. Mm-hmm. If you could go to the future, would you want to see where you're going to be at in 20 years from now?
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I might not look too good. It might scare me.
No. The thing about women, nothing ever changes.
That's what they say, but
right? Like
says that?
Well, you just keep coloring your hair like most women.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you look at, so Taylor, I don't know how he ended up on this, but he's like, I just decided to go on our YouTube page and ended up clear back to when Captain something at VBS. So David Dean was
I've
and I
seen
was
those.
Captain something, wore a cape, didn't have a beard. I'm like, that ain't that many years ago. Look at me today. I look like an old man, like an old man. I'm like, what happened to me? Women, I mean, they look the same year after year.
Well, sorry about you.
I don't know. My jean size go up and down. I don't know about all that. But
yeah, I know, but there's not very many guys coloring their hair. Yeah,
women do have a little bit more makeup and things we can do to hide than men.
Shots and makeup.
Yeah, Botox.
Yeah, one of the two. Mm-hmm. Do you get Botox?
No, I've never had it.
Would you?
Yes.
Yeah. Would
like
you?
Tomorrow, I would.
You would not do Botox?
No. Really? Never? Mm-hmm. Just even like a little, like three things in your anywhere?
I would. Three things in your anywhere?
Like there's, you can get like 20 and that's a ton.
20 like where?
Shots.
Like where would you get them?
I would get it around my laugh lines because I laugh a lot.
Okay.
And here because I think a lot. Because I'm always, like, squinting.
Oh, so they just make your forehead, like...
Yeah, mine are permanent
there. No, not really these, but this.
So you'd get shots right between your eyeballs?
Absolutely.
Oof. Yeah, that's the reason I can't get a tattoo, right? We've had this discussion.
Yes, we have.
Needles. I'd probably get liposuction, though.
Oh, I've always said this. If they did liposuction from my belly to my butt, I would do it tomorrow.
You were gonna say that.
If it didn't hurt.
Yeah.
Like, if they could just put a tube there and go right to your butt. Like on each side and fill it up.
Dreams.
Yeah, I always tell my husband that's what the vacuum is for. Just if you could just hook up to it every once in a while at your house, you know.
Yeah, so tell us a little bit about you. So
All right. I'm getting ready to turn 43 in September. Married my high school sweetheart. We've been together. We've been married 24 years, together 25.
Wow. So from Huntington?
Yes.
So you went to Huntington North?
Yes.
Wow.
Yep.
And how long were you dating for?
Oh, I'm trying to think. Probably about a year before we got married. So, wow. I mean.
In high school, though, right?
Yeah, I was in high school. He was not.
Okay.
He's the older man.
Yeah, he's the older man. I say, yeah, he took me to my prom. Okay. My senior prom, we were engaged then. Got married after I graduated.
So when you were in Huntington, did you grow up in the church? Were you around church? Like, what was?
No, I mean. I went to Catholic school or like Catholic church when I was a kid.
Okay.
CCD and that kind of stuff, I remember, but there was no church like through my high school years or any of that. I think it was like 2007. I just kind of was in a rough place looking for something, and I walked into Bethel Assembly of God and met the women's group. I didn't even go to church. I just went there, and that's what was happening that night. And I was in the women's group for a little over a couple years. I met my great friend Bethany, and we're actually working together at where I'm at now.
Well, so can you describe, like, so in high school, right? So you're going through or after you get married, faith isn't a part of, I mean, it's something that maybe you knew about, but something that wasn't a part of your life.
Yeah, I mean, I knew of God, but there's a difference between relationship and, you know, a big one.
So when you talk about getting to a rough place, like, what was the point where you're like, hey, God's the answer. Like what brings somebody to a place? It's like, hey, it's rough enough that had you tried other things to try to get it fixed and it just didn't work? Or how would, you know, cause it does seem odd sometimes if somebody's not in church or somebody's not involved, like how they would ever end up at a church.
When I was about 21, I didn't know anything about it. And I did a ball of crystal meth and a ball of crystal meth. Like it was a lot.
Like a whole ball?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Like a ridiculous amount, and not knowing anything about it. I was up for like 6 days. Last week, I just started getting paranoid. Something chemically changed that day. I don't know what it did, but I just really started having mental torture here and there, ups and downs of anxiety, depression.
This is something you never struggled with before.
Yeah, no, not until I did that.
Wow.
And
so what entered, I mean, this might be off the subject. So for the side of drugs or alcohol or any of those things, was that just something that was a part of your high school were dabbling and it turned into something more?
Yeah.
I'm trying to get for people that are watching or people that are listening that, I mean, we're living in a culture today of a lot of experimental things and a lot of people dabbling. And so was that just kind of what you did and then it turned into something? And maybe what was the switch or?
Yeah, I mean, I had done acid and different things when I was 14.
Okay.
So I dabbled, got just with the group, I guess I was with, you know? And then I really had something totally against the harder drugs like that and just gave into it one day and I took a hit of it and it didn't really do anything.
Okay.
So then since I gave into it, we kind of just got a lot and did it the next day. And that's when, you know, I did a lot not knowing and seemed fun or whatever, but it really changed something in me.
Okay.
And after that, you know, I was, you know, I've went to different doctors, different things, trying medicine for the anxiety, just the way you feel the, you know, and nothing seems to help me. So that's when I was just like, you know, you hear of God, you know, church. So I just took a leap of faith and walked in one day. Like I said, it wasn't even during church service. It was just, I went on a Wednesday night, the ladies met me and I was a part of their group.
Yeah. So this is going to be, I'm trying to tie some things together just in my own mind because so for the acid part of it, and then you said, and then you did harder stuff. So acid's not.
It's not yet. Yeah, it I mean, it is.
I'm just talking for my
drugs for dummies.
Well, yeah. No, I'm just, again, I'm trying to figure out. And then once you did, is it something that you immediately came addicted to or is it you just.
I've never had an addiction.
Oh, so you don't have addiction.
It was just a Friday night fun thing. Like,
really?
I've so never. Just partying.
Mm-hmm, I've never been an addict. I've never had a problem. I can put anything. I mean, I just threw, you know, Friday night, have fun or whatever.
Okay.
You know, throughout the years or whatever. Hard drugs were never like a big thing, you know, like I said, even when I did acid, I did it several times, but it was just
not here, something like here you had to go back
no,
to.
It wasn't like every day or like, it was just.
So do you think that, again, I keep getting off the subject, but now I'm like completely interested because I've never heard of somebody
just periodically
that would go through that. That wouldn't be like, oh, I at least struggled to want it again. So do you think it's a, when it comes to addiction, do you think it's a personality thing? Do you think it's a, is the chemical dependence, because I would assume that that's part of how it goes, right? That there is somewhat of a, so could you put it down because your personality? Do you think you could put it down because, like, what separated, not separated you, but what do you think the difference was? And maybe you don't know.
I would say maybe even the times have changed, like, I mean, I believe back when you were doing drugs then, they're different than today. You were getting what was really on the label.
Oh, got
That's
it.
One thing. I mean, I don't know. I know that they say heroin is, you know, higher than anything addiction-wise.
Right.
I mean, they say that that grabs people fast.
Did you agree with that, Jenny?
I've never done it.
Did you have an addictive personality?
I mean, I've smoked cigarettes, you know what I mean? Things like that. Food. But drugs just never been... I mean, like I said, I've never had an addiction. I need it, or it's just we're getting together on Friday night. It was there, you did it. Like,
For sure.
It's never been a problem for me.
Yeah. And so, how did your husband fit on this? Was he a support? Is he, you know, and I'm not, again, I'm not here to throw him under the bus or to elevate him, just to so that people could out there learning. Was he somebody that said, hey, you know, I want to help you walk through this journey. I want to help you understand what's going on. I want to help you when you're going to therapy. Like, how did he fit in the whole mix?
I don't think he understands it.
Oh, okay.
You know, to him, it doesn't make any sense because he doesn't struggle with it.
Okay.
I'm sure he has his own struggles, you know what I'm saying?
Sure.
But I would have to say, to be honest, even being with him as long as I am, he's not always my person for that.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I talk to him, don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
But when I'm going to go deeper into certain things, you know, I have certain girlfriends that I trust with that, or I think God places a lot of different people in our lives for different things and different conversations. So, I mean, he's very supportive, but like I said, I don't think that he can completely grasp it, not understanding what I'm meaning or even me explaining it.
Right.
Sometimes you can't even find the words to explain something. So,
right.
Yeah.
Right. So then you're at this place where you've tried the, what I think people would consider the normal route. Like, so you're struggling with anxiety, you go to the doctor, you're trying to go to therapy, you're trying to go through those things, but you're finding that that's not working.
Yeah,
so
never has.
To end up at Bethel, how did you get somebody invite you? Did somebody,
I just wandered in? I literally wandered in.
What were you expecting when you walked in?
I don't even know, to be honest. Like,
you just felt like
I needed to do it. And
how'd you know it was going on?
I didn't.
Just blindly walked in.
I just blindly walked in.
Just needed somewhere safe.
Yep. I just felt like, you know, it was the last place to turn.
But
yeah. And so I went there for, I was very faithful. That's, you know, that was the first time I did get baptized while I was there. I was saved. I was probably like 2.5 years. I mean, I was really heavily, I mean, I had to be at church. I was on my women's group every Wednesday night. Then my husband got cancer. And we were going through that, and my faith was great then, you know, going through that. But all of a sudden, I got into a really bad place again. And that's when I just finally walked away. I'm like, you know, you go to church every, you do what you're supposed to, the religion part. Mm-hmm. I didn't have the relationship. Mm-hmm. That's where the difference is. But so I went through all those years. I didn't go to church, nothing.
How many years was that?
Well, in 2019, Andrea Rowland got out of prison. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'd been talked to her in prison and I wanted to see her face. So I went to church to see her. She was with the Remnant. So I walked in, you know, that was the first time I got back in church. For the year and a half that she was going through the program, I was going to different churches with her, just getting involved with her, building my faith, and just like watching her and Jeff's story is amazing. Mm-hmm. So I, but I still wasn't like faithful into going to church. You know, I mean, I went to a lot of things, but not like every Sunday, you know.
Mm-hmm. So what, can I just back up a second? What was it that you think happened while you were going that it was like, at Bethel, like you're religious? Because I think this is still, you're talking about a lot of people, right? Mm-hmm. Like they had something and they jumped in, right? And they don't just like put a foot in, like I'm in.
Yeah.
Like, I'm here. Yeah. I'm giving my life. And there is this expectation, right? Mm-hmm. Of like, this is what's going to happen. Was the expectation not met? Is that why you think you walked away? What do you think, not from the church in general, from God, from relationship, what was it that got you to the place of you're like, I'm out?
I was looking for a genie God that was going to fix me. Mm. And when he didn't, and I was going through it that rough again, I'm just like, this isn't worth it.
Yeah.
Because not every day did I want to get up and go to church, or did I, but I stayed faithful because I thought that's what.
If you did this, it equals this, right?
That's what I went there looking for.
Yeah, for
sure. This healing, you know? Right. And so when it got so bad again, I just walked away.
Was your husband going to church during this time?
Just me and my daughter.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And that when you say got bad, meaning the anxiety and stuff came back.
Yeah, all I can call it is a mental torture. You know, you hear anxiety use a lot, and I think it's different for everybody. Mm. I get to the point of, you know, there's almost suicidal. I mean, I've gotten suicidal several times. You know, it's a mental torture. I don't know. And it's nothing about your life. I have a wonderful support system, great life. I mean, I can't think of anything. It's not that. It's something internal that just goes wrong. And that's the only way I can explain it. So, yeah, and you just get to a point you don't feel like a human, you know? Right. You just are struggling every day to barely get through the day.
Right.
And it's just not a way to live. So then, you know, I think a lot of, I don't know, the devil knows how to put me down and he does it, you know?
Right.
So, yeah.
Yeah, and so then you get to the point where Andrea gets out and she's in a program. And then that program must send you to different churches or
Go to different, I mean, they have, you know, they have different programs. I think you probably have to do so many a week or whatever, and they just get involved in all the different churches, you know?
So you were going with her, right? And so, yeah, I interrupted you, but why don't you keep going with that story?
So yeah, I just kind of follow, you know, like supporting her and obviously, you know, myself. And then it's sometime this year I came here with her and Jeff and it just felt like home. Like, I just appreciate your honesty. I appreciate that you're just a normal guy that, you know, I like that you speak on the hard things. I don't want to leave church feeling great every day. I want to feel like that's something I need to work on to get it. You know, we can all feel happy all the time. You know what I mean? But that's not what it all is.
Right.
You read the Bible, there's a lot of death in, I mean, it's not all just, you know, what people think. So yeah, like I said, I have been faithful ever since either coming or being online. Mm-hmm. I do both. Mm-hmm. So.
And how are you doing now with, again, I'll quit saying anxiety, but mental torture. Yeah. Like, how is that going with you today? And are there certain things that trigger it? And are there certain things help you get out of it?
I mean, I have my ups and downs. It's never changed of, you know, the ups and downs of it. But I just stay faithful in my relationship with God. I know every day I stay in prayer. I know the people he's put in my life to keep, you know, to go to when I need them. Because I'm a very big isolator. I will isolate for months. I get to a point where I start even pulling away from my closest family. Just like sitting in a chair, like I can't go anymore, you know. So
can you speak to that for a second? Because a lot of people that I talk to that are struggling, right, get to a place of isolation. And then there is this struggle because it's what you say you want, right? Like whether you say it or not. So there's these people trying to help and a person is isolated and they're like, well, I've tried, but they don't want help. So can you speak to the people that are feeling isolated or are isolating and give them some help? I mean, I know it's something they have to do on their own, but what is it, something that helps you break out of it? And what have people done to help you get out of it?
I would feel like a lot of times when I'm sitting there and just feel like I'm not even a person or can even, I feel like I'm going to say something stupid or just whatever I'm worrying about. 90% of the time, and once I get there and force myself to go, I have a great time. Mm-hmm. And I, you know what I mean? It's just getting there sometimes, just mm-hmm. making yourself go. Because mm-hmm. most of the time, I'm glad I went, you right. know?
Yeah.
I have a lot of friends that, you know, just pray over me. You know,
do you have people that check in on you?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, I would just say go, even when you don't think you feel like it, or worst case scenario, if you get there and you can't do it, leave.
Yeah.
But
you tried.
Yeah. But most of the time showing up. Yes. It's mm-hmm. just showing up and, you know, and like I said, not telling somebody,
mm-hmm.
you know, a lot of times I would just not tell anybody that I was where I was at.
Mm.
Just because who wants to keep hearing that over and over? And
yeah,
I know that no matter what I tell anybody, they can't help me.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can speak to me, you can, but there's something in me that can't be helped. Only mm-hmm. God can do it, you know? Mm-hmm. And then I've realized too along the way, my love and compassion come from that. You know, mm-hmm. I'm really big in that. And it's part of me, who I am, because of that, you mm-hmm. know? And God's been working with me on that. It's like, you know, you may not be so understanding or loving if you don't know what it's like to struggle or, mm-hmm. you know, those things.
So you think it's helped with your capacity to love other people mm-hmm. because of the journey yes. that you've been on?
Yeah,
definitely.
Yeah. Yeah.
So let's talk about the journey you're on today.
Okay.
So God's working in your life. You're yes. doing, you know, changed positions, came to a place where you've yes. decided to make some changes in life. So yeah. I think that's interesting that you had enough courage to.
I have a really cool quote.
Okay.
Okay. So it's like speaking on this, I heard it this morning in my podcast or in one of my podcasts. It says, I don't know what I would be like if I didn't have these experiences that kept me coming to the foot of the cross.
Mm.
I thought that was really cool.
Yeah. That experiences that kept, make you.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm. That ground you and right. like the compassion and everything else. Mm-hmm. It's essentially what she was saying.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that's the thing that we have to, it is okay. And this is what I keep saying. This is why it's so important for parents, for preachers, for people to be honest, because our experiences make us who we are.
Yeah.
So hiding your experiences from other people
mm-hmm.
doesn't help them. No. Like if you get up there and you preach, or you're in a relationship with somebody and you hide certain experiences
yeah.
because you don't want them to know. Mm-hmm. Like that's not helpful, because our experiences, good and bad, have made us the man or woman that we are today. And that's what you're describing. Like yeah. these experiences, although rough, have made me into mm-hmm. who I am today.
Well, I think it's hard too, because like, you know, you say, I get to a point where I'm so bad. It's like, you know, I'm telling my husband, I I'm really at this point, like, you know, it's just not good.
Mm-hmm.
And they look at you just heartbroken because they want to help you. They think, what's wrong with your life? Like, what am I not doing? What am I not giving you?
Right.
What am I? And that, and it's not, that's why I say it's not my surroundings.
Mm-hmm.
It is literally what's broken inside. Like, it's something inside that's not right.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care. Give me $1 million. Take me on a beach. Take me. If I'm not feeling right, I'm not feeling right. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So that, I think that's hard too, to, you know, to make people around you feel like they're not good enough, or, and it's right. not that so much. It's not that.
Right. So for the people that are trying to help people like you, and I don't mean that in
yeah.
a bad way,
right.
but people that are struggling, they just need to recognize that sometimes just being there, like yeah. they can't fix it.
No, they can't fix
right?
it.
Right. But being there for you, walking mm-hmm. that journey with you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, definitely.
So you've made some life changes yes. lately. So let's talk about those things.
So I was, for 13 years, I worked at Hickory Creek here in Huntington. It's a nursing home, but it's like mentally ill people, more like you schizophrenic. I mean, just a lot. It's across the board.
I didn't know that.
Yes.
Me neither.
So I was there for 13 years. I was a business office manager. Doing like HR.
I know, but you have cool stories.
Yeah. Oh, I could have wrote a book on that one.
Yeah.
I've seen some things.
HIPAA though, right?
Yeah.
Dang
yeah.
it.
But so I did that for 13 years. And then for the last 3 years, I went up in Fort Wayne and was working in a corporate office doing accounts payable. It was still for nursing homes, but I was in the corporate office. And without, you know, saying too much, it was just
not what you
wanted.
It
was a bad experience. Yeah. Like there was nothing good about it. Like it took me to a really bad place. I needed help. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I've always been one, you know, if I'm going to be out of the home, I'm going to be making money. Yeah. So, I mean, I kept these mentally stressful jobs to make the big bucks. Mm-hmm. And so I finally, like 4 or 5 months ago, I surrendered. I was like, all right, God, I am going to do something I've never done. I am going to completely surrender. I mean, I am going to quit my job with no job.
Wow.
And trust. And it was the hardest, like anybody knows me, worrying about money, even if I don't need to. It's always been a thing.
Yeah.
So I was like, you know, I don't want anything that's not from you, you know? So I just went and I cleaned for the last 4 months, just part-time until God opened the door. And the door opened at Grace and Mercy, transitional home in Bluffton. Mm. So I'm on my 4th week there, and it's just a place that already I've seen blessings. Like, you know, someone comes through the door with a donation. I mean, you just like it lights up because these things couldn't happen without the love in people's hearts to give. I was able to bless somebody with a donated bike. This girl rides a bike every day to work from there. I had somebody donate it to her, and it was like $1 million to her. I mean, she was getting her lights for it, her basket, you know. It's just a place that you see the blessings. Yes, God is welcomed. You know, when you're coming in with a day like that, you can say, hey, pray for me. We get in a group and we pray together. You know, that's so huge to my struggle. You know, I'm there because I know God will help me to bless those girls, but they're going to bless me right back. And it's huge for me. So that's very exciting.
Do you think that will have a, because there is this, our part, God's part. You know, I've always said that in our lives, like God, we have a part in allowing God to work, you know? And so all of us, maybe not to the extent of what you're going through, but all of us have this like struggle. And sometimes the things that we do add to it, and then we want God to take it away. You know what I mean? Like we have a struggle and then we run our life and it adds to the problem. It doesn't take away the problem. But we keep praying to God to take it away. Because he can. Like, he can, even if we add to it. But then there is this part that I've seen in so many people's lives where they finally get to a place and say, I'm going to stop adding to the problem. Like, it's still a problem, but I'm going to stop adding to it. And then God does some things that, like, he couldn't do when we kept adding on. Like, I say couldn't. He's God. He can do whatever. But you know what I mean? But, that there is this part where God honors our part, his part together. Do you think maybe your surrender and part of your life change will allow God to continue to heal?
Oh, absolutely.
You know, this part of you that, you know, because I think that's a good lesson for all of us, you know, is that when we do get to some places, you know, God could have, but maybe this is another part of your journey. Like you've surrendered now.
Like, use me, Lord. I mean, we don't have much time left on this earth. I mean, when you sit here and you look at the world, you know, I when I was getting like suicidal, I was starting to learn about the hope of the rapture. Like that's where I replaced those thoughts. Like, you know, I started learning about Bible prophecy. I started watching stuff, you know, for the hope of that. Okay, he's coming in his timing, not, you know. And that's where I rest when I am struggling. I just go deeper, you know.
Come back. We're ready.
So I'm ready. Yes, definitely.
Jenny's not ready.
I could go.
I know you could
Think about all that fun stuff I could do. I could run without injury. That would be amazing.
Running's in hell. Heaven has no running.
Not in my heaven.
Has no running.
Yeah, mine does. You don't have to run with me. You can watch.
Do you think you're really going to run somewhere in heaven?
I would
like
to.
Or are you just going to teleport?
I guess I don't, just don't know. I think what I would
You get a run.
Yeah.
Okay. You'll be like Forrest Gump.
Exactly.
You could just keep running and running. Yep, I've never seen it, but I hear people say it. But I've never seen the movie.
I still can't believe you've never seen it.
No.
I have another quote because this is just like it. And it's freaking me out that our whole conversation was just like what I listened to this morning. But what you choose today is the life that you'll live tomorrow. And she was talking about giving stuff up. And I can't remember exactly what she was saying because she had to give stuff up in her life in order to heal from everything. And it's like, God is, like, you're not giving it to him. And it's like insulting, I guess, to him. Like, he didn't go through what he did, Jesus. Like, he didn't do all that just for you to live halfway here on earth. Like mm-hmm. he came to completely like wash away all of our sin. Right. But for some reason we hold on to him.
Yeah. I just think life is more about rhythm than we think. So I think God has set up a rhythm in everybody's soul mm-hmm. that is their rhythm, and you need to find it. And a lot of people try to live in culture's rhythm or like somebody else's rhythm yeah. because mm-hmm. they watch them. And I've always been a person like, I think the greatest beauty is the uniqueness of people. Mm-hmm. Like I think the diversity of the church, the diversity of people, like the uniqueness is what makes me just like, oh my gosh, God is so incredible. But yet we see so many people that want somebody else's rhythm.
Yeah.
I want to be like somebody else. I want to be able to have the capacity like somebody else. I want to work like somebody else, you know. And I think it's natural. Like people look to certain people and be like, why can't I be like that? Mm-hmm. Because that's not your rhythm.
Yeah.
Like God didn't give you that capacity. Although we want what they have, our rhythm is not that. I wish I could, you know, work the hours that they do. I wish I could have the capacity they have. I wish mm-hmm. I could sleep less than what I mean, listen, some people got to sleep 12 hours and some people can sleep four.
Yeah.
Right. I just think you shouldn't be embarrassed in either one of them because it's a rhythm. Yep. Right. And if it's the way God created you, it's the way God created you.
If some people are late, you know, then other people's aren't. That's no, just the way God created you.
No, late is selfish. That's a whole other thing. But
whatever.
No, but you, right. That's what you're saying. Yeah. Like you tried to live, and I'm putting words in your mouth so you can correct me.
No, you're right.
You tried to live out of rhythm mm-hmm. and add to it whatever happened chemically mm-hmm. and living out of rhythm probably adds to the struggle, mm-hmm. you know? And so now as you're finding your rhythm and that rhythm, then I still think helps us become closer to Christ, you know, helps us become closer to God because we're just better. Like mm-hmm. we just feel better. Our mind is sound. I mean, yeah. I don't even know if it's the right thing because you don't have to have something chemically wrong for your mind not to be sound. Mm-hmm. I mean, because
and it may not have been chemically. I mean, I just
I'm putting
something.
Again, I'm putting words in your mouth.
Well, no, I put those words out there, but I don't know what happened. Like I said, I don't know what happened.
Something
that day,
changed.
But something changed.
Right.
Whether, yeah, I don't know, but I never had a problem before that. So, like I said, I'm my own worst enemy. I'm the only one that speaks to myself the way that I, you know.
Yeah.
I have nobody else that degrades me or says anything bad or anything. I do it to myself.
Nor do I probably do it to anybody else.
Oh, I would never.
Right.
But don't you think most people are that way?
I would say
so. Most people are their hardest critics and most people are, you know, mm-hmm. hard on themselves.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah, so can you give, so we're at our 30-minute mark, so can you give some, before we go into the questions, mm-hmm. can you give some suggestions to people that are out there that struggle with, whether it's mental torture, anxiety, finding, like kind of where you are today, because I do think it's pretty incredible to hear your journey, like the things that you've went through to where you are today of, hey, I got to a place in my life where I can completely surrender.
Yeah.
Like what are some of the, if you were going to say like, these are some things that helped me get to that point.
Yeah.
Like, I think you've said them, but I mean, if you can reiterate them, like you talked about people, you've talked about the church, you've mm-hmm. talked about, like, if you were going to give some people some suggestions, what would be some things that people could do to help them in their journey?
First, I learned, you know, being isolated, that God was there with me. Mm. I understood finally the relationship. Mm. I don't have to be anywhere else. Mm. I get the most in my bedroom at night by myself with God. Let's talk, God, pray, get that relationship. Mm. You know, the religious stuff is important, you know, because it does put you with the people. It does give you a lesson, or you hear the word and you go home and you study on it. Those things are important. But those things are nothing compared to the relationship. That is the, you know, the ultimate purpose. So I think a lot of that is just getting deeper with God yourself when you're alone. Mm. You know, and understanding that he's not a genie God. He can do anything, but you may not get that healing here.
Yeah.
I finally learned that my healing's in heaven. Mm. I just got to you know, be here and help other people get to heaven with me. Yeah. You know, that's my purpose here. Is, yeah, that, you know,
that's worth a clappy hand.
Yeah. So that's awesome. Just really learning that and really understanding it, I think has been huge for me. So once you have that and you start seeing it in other people's lives and just, you know, it's easier to surrender because you know that it's real.
Yeah.
You've felt the Lord upon you. You can't deny it anymore.
Yeah.
So yeah, I would say that's been huge for me, is really learning that and getting deeper into it just with me and God.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. My sister actually, here within the last 4 weeks, she accepted the Lord.
Aww.
And that's what I was trying to tell her. We've been coming here.
Another clap. Yes. Yes.
If I could hurry up and turn the light on, but I doubt I could find the button again.
But, you know, that's why I try to tell her, you got to realize, like, when you walk in this church, they're just people.
Yeah.
Not everybody's good. Not everybody's for you. We're just people. And that, you know, so understanding that, don't let somebody's bad day in that church give you an idea. These are the people. God is God, you know, and you have to get that relationship in your bedroom by yourself at night. Yep. I've really tried to, you know, teach her that.
Yeah.
So, I would say that's probably the biggest thing. But, you know, if you do have to isolate, at least reach out to people by text. Let them know, hey, this is where I'm at. Pray for me.
Yeah.
Don't let yourself get months in where you've not talked to anybody and you're, you know.
Yeah, it's crazy what the mind can do.
Oh, yes.
The mind is, we've talked about it on this podcast before, but the mind is a powerful thing.
It really is.
You know, and it's amazing in all aspects of life how actually powerful to move you forward, you know, that the mind can be and what it can overcome and how it can set you back.
Yeah.
Yeah. Definitely. So train the mind.
Yep.
Yeah.
Good. I say success is 20% of like just doing it, like your strategy, your action plan, but the 80% is your mental game, mental strategy, like how you feel about it.
Right.
Random fact.
Yeah. Cause when I'm feeling good in my normal self, like with now, I mean, I'm outgoing. You know what I mean? I put myself out there. I would do anything for anybody. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I tell myself, maybe that's why the devil attacks.
Yeah.
He knows what I'm capable of because I know that I know who I am as a person and it's amazing, you know, but it just that once you're in that state, you can't get out and it's really hard. So.
Right. Good. All right, Jenny, questions?
Question time. All right, the first one is from Tammy Dennis, and she wants to know, what is your favorite date night?
My favorite date night.
I know. I thought that was a cool question.
I would say just to cuddle up in the chair and watch a movie.
Oh,
awesome. I don't have a cuddly husband, so, you know.
That's
not an every day.
That's awesome. All right, Adam Shoemaker, which I think you've pretty much already done this one, but we'll ask it anyways. How would you describe your relationship with Jesus to someone who does not know him?
Get the relationship.
Yeah, I think you've described it. Like you tried religion.
Yeah.
Trying the genie to fix. Like people come with a, because here's what we always hope for. Most people come to church to be fixed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What we hope for is in the process they meet Jesus because there's a good chance it ain't getting fixed. The only thing that gets fixed is what's really broken is what you said, the heart, right? And we get it fixed because of our relationship with Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Definitely.
Yeah.
All right, Karen Bennett, what advice would Jamie now give high school Jamie about marriage and how to make it successful? That is a great
that
question.
Is a good one.
So you're going back in time.
Yeah, I'm going back a long time, back to his mullet.
High school Jamie.
Yeah, did he have a mullet? Jamie.
Yeah.
My prom picture is his mullet with his, he took his white shirt underneath and just has his black vest on.
Yes, that is perfect. Oh,
back in 1999.
Wow.
You know, you just, when you've been together since you were in high school to be almost 43, you change as a person. I mean, that's your whole life. You go from a teenager, you know what I mean? Just all the stages. And to be able to change with somebody through all those years, we've been blessed. We really have. We say that because he was a second shifter, I was a first shifter most of our lives. So that's probably a huge success maybe in some areas. But in the last, you know, few years, even though, you know, our life's changed, she's finally gotten days and stuff. And we're the same. We get along very well.
Good.
I'd say our, you know, we probably not tell everybody, you know, tell each other how we feel sometimes just to save it, you know, face or whatever, not argue. But, I mean, I going back from high school to where I'm at now, no regrets. So.
Yeah. Keep changing. Yeah.
I couldn't imagine growing like with somebody like that.
Because when I lived with him, you know, I was still in high school.
Yeah.
Like I turned 18. I lived with him. We were engaged. I was in high school, so he wasn't. So I was going to bed for school. And then I wouldn't go to school, and I'd have my mom. You know, they were still calling my mom. She's not at school. She's over pounding on her door, you know.
Oh, my.
So, yeah, to think back like all that, you know, it's just funny.
It's been
an amazing ride, that's for sure.
Yeah, it's awesome. Yeah.
All right, Bree Sullivan, if you could travel anywhere in the world, where would you go and why? Ooh. And she also has a second question. Like we'll go with that one.
Well, I've always wanted to stay in the United States because I'm one of the people I'm afraid I'd lose my passport and get stuck.
Oh, that's your worst fear. Yeah.
Be like, oh, I'm stuck. I went to California and I loved it there. I thought it was very pretty. I haven't been a lot of places, but that was probably.
You would go there?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We would like to go back.
Where would you go?
Where would I go?
Anywhere Hawaii. In the world. You said Ireland.
In the world?
Yeah, well, that's the question.
Oh, but for some, I stuck with the U.S. because
no,
of her.
Anywhere in the world.
Where the queen lives.
Which is?
England, the U.K. It's England. I always get it confused. There's a lot of different states in the England or U.K. United Kingdom?
Okay.
Is it England?
I'm going with you, Jenny.
Which one's the country?
Jenny, I just stick with you.
Oh, I'm making it over there. All right, second part of her question. Where would you go?
The next place I'd like to travel is visit the concentration camps, like in Poland. And
whoa.
So I've always been, I still can't fathom. Like when I went to Washington, D.C. and went through the... that whole museum that talks about the Holocaust, it's still hard to imagine that this really happened.
Yeah.
Right. Like the things that happened to people, and even taking it back to what God said about the Jews. I mean, it was somewhat of a, you know, these were people who were wiping out God's people. Mm-hmm. Right. And that, yeah, just the extremes they went to. So I've always wanted to visit the concentration camps over there.
See, now my husband would want to go with you.
Yeah.
He's like real big into the history. Loves it.
Yeah, I mean, there was nothing like doing the footsteps of Paul. So when we went to Greece and Rome, and you like,
so cool.
You stand, you like, you open up your Bible and you're standing on the Acropolis and you're reading as he is talking from, like, I am at this spot, and he's saying, and I'm looking at the Temple of Zeus, and you look over there, and there's the Temple of Zeus.
That's neat.
You know, so there's something about the historic, like, bringing, so many people think the Bible is just so, like, oh, it's, I mean, they don't think of it as history. It's almost like a story.
Right. I mean, yeah.
But this is so historical that you can open up your Bible, you can stand on the places that he stood, you can read from, and you can look and be like, oh, there's the Bema seat.
Yeah.
There's the,
that's
you
neat.
Know, Temple of Zeus. So that stuff was, yeah.
Is awesome. That like a tour or?
You can go on it as a tour, but what we did was Lexi was going to go over there and study abroad because that was her
degree. Right.
So she had to study abroad. So she was going to end up in Spain. So we just started and said, let's just do a European tour. And so we went to the beaches of Normandy, which was another incredible. You know the beaches of Normandy, right?
No. What is it? No.
D-Day?
D-Day.
D-Day.
The movie?
What do they teach in history now in high school?
Oh, D-Day. Isn't that where everybody got killed?
Yeah.
Okay, yes.
So you go to the beaches where it happened. So we like stood on the beaches of Normandy and you can look at the machine gun bunkers of where they were shooting all the Americans. And
that's crazy.
So again, I'm a huge history guy. I'd be like your husband. I love
do trivia. Like sometimes that's how I'll get him conversating. I'll get like trivia games. That's all. And he's so smart. Like he knows that. So it's fun because I'm like, a lot of times I'm pronouncing the words wrong and he's pronouncing the word for me and then answering the question. But yeah,
no, I love history. So
anyway. Yeah, like overseas is like, that's the only place that they have ancient history, like stuff, which is insane, which just makes sense.
And it's cool too, because it makes it so that like, we're not telling stories. This is history.
Yeah.
You know, Paul's stories you can see him right there.
Mm-hmm.
I've never been to Jerusalem. I'm a little afraid of going over there, but yeah.
Yeah. What about you, Nick? If you could go anywhere in the world, where would you go? Right now. Like, leave right this second. Like, there's a plane.
Why does his have to be right this second?
Oh, I don't know.
Everybody else was. Hey, where do you want to go in the world someday? Nick, this second, where would you go?
So I was giving him time to think.
Europe.
Yes.
Just all over.
All over.
Backpacking Europe.
There you go.
That would be cool.
The Amalfi Coast.
Yes.
Yeah, where James Bond was.
Oh, that would be cool.
It is so beautiful. It's in Greece. You would love it.
Yeah, I bet.
I think it's in Greece. I don't know. The Amalfi
Coast. Sounds good.
Yeah.
All right. The rest of her question is, also, marrying your high school sweetheart is such a blessing. You get to truly grow up together and build everything from the ground up. That's really what you said.
We've all been amazing at it too.
Yeah.
We really have.
So. Awesome. I think Bree did too, right? They were high school sweethearts. I'm pretty sure. All right. But that is the end of our questions.
Okay. Awesome. So
if you are not on our question group or in our question group, I send out a text each week letting you know who is on the podcast, and I send a little bio, and we want you to respond back and ask questions, just like I said right now, or I told her, or asked her. I did something. But if you are not on it, text podcast to 260-408-8383, and yeah, we want you to be on it.
Yeah. So a couple things. I learned this. This is kind of how I work, so I probably should have ran this by you before I actually say it. But
it's all good. That's how I roll.
Just actually thought about it. But one of the things I was that people were saying, like one of the things that helps your podcast if people write reviews. Is this true?
Yes.
So how should they write a review? I'm just sitting
here.
What
do you mean?
No, like if you go to our podcast, you can write a review somewhere,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it's on the app. It's on like the actual, if they're like listening, I believe.
No, so if you're listening,
yeah,
right? You can go there and wherever. See, this is why I should bring things up. I know it's true.
It is true.
I really know it's true.
So
next week, Jenny's going to tell you how to write a review because it does help.
Yes,
like if you write a review, it helps the podcast get to more people.
Yeah, because haven't you gone on to your podcast and you'll see like it's a 5 rating, like it's 4.8, like. Really? You don't ever search podcasts and look for that number because some people have it and some people don't.
Either way, they said it helps.
It does.
Jenny's going to tell you actually how to do it next week
so that
you
can back. Something.
But if you are watching, yes, what'd you say? What did you just say?
I said, wow, he actually knew something.
No, I don't really. I read it.
Okay,
I think that it's true.
You knew it.
So,
You knew it.
We're going to find out if it's true.
We're going to find
out. Or if you're watching. So if you're on our YouTube, leave comments. You know, that's another thing that helps us.
Yeah.
If you leave comments. And Jenny checks it. Nick checks it. So we'll respond to you guys if you're sending questions or putting in comments. You will respond back. And when Jenny puts this out here on Wednesday,
Thursdays.
Make sure you share it because that's the other thing that we'd love for you to do. Lastly, if you're watching again or listening, if Jamie's at church, come and see her.
Yeah,
right?
Which
and
service I think, do you go to? The second?
Yeah, I go to the
second. Oh, no, she goes to the service where actually everybody is excited.
Yeah.
Right? Like the first service is like, we love you, Jesus. The second service is like, I'm like, it's the vibe between the first
intense.
And second service is so much different.
It is.
And I'm like, oh. I love it.
Yeah.
Whistling, clapping. I'm ready for somebody to run around, dance a little bit. Yeah.
Are you asking me to do that?
Hey, go ahead.
Yeah.
So if you're just seeing on stage and all of a sudden you hear me,
hey, let's go. Everybody will like it.
That's amazing.
Jimmy, thank you.
Yes.
Again, thanks for coming on and sharing your story. Yep. Thank you for, again, being an example to all of us of what it means to finally get to the end, surrender, let God work. An example of that we all struggle. We all need God to work through, you know, the stories of our life and that, God can do amazing things and is and looks like going to continue to do the future amazing things. So we're excited for you, excited for your journey. And again, thanks for listening. Thanks for watching. And we'll see you guys next week.
Bye. Yay.